I'm back. Can y'all hear me? Oh, yes. Hello, hello. I want to thank you very much, MCC Tampa, for inviting me to come out while Reverend Jacob is away. It's such a pleasure to always come back to this place. I feel like this is kind of my old homestead, even though I'm not here all the time. I keep y'all very much in my heart, and so I am truly grateful to be out here with y'all again. I also bring you greetings from Dr. Candace Schultes, Senior Pastor at King of Peace MCC, and behalf of the networks, where I serve as the network facilitator. And one of the people that is my network leaders is here. I'm not going to mention any names, Jenny Walker. And so I bring you greetings from her as well, even though I'm sure that she has incomparable wisdom, and y'all know her very, very well. So I want to thank you so very much, and please send Reverend Jacob my regards when he comes back. Now, I want to tell y'all that when I was a little kid, one of my most favorite things to do was to look at maps. My grandparents had a 1956 set of encyclopedias. So they were rather old, and this was during the 90s. So they were rather outdated, and included things that probably we shouldn't even talk about or mention anymore. But I would spend hours looking at them. And that had kind of propelled me to be involved in the geography bee in seventh grade. I took geography in college. I could name every single capital of the states. Yes, I can. I can still do that. And I can also tell you every single country in the world if you show me a map. I can still do that. Facebook map, Facebook quizzes told me I could. I love looking at maps, and I feel like geography has been such a vital part of my life. And realistically, geography plays a vital part of our lives as well, especially here in Tampa, praise the Lord, where they close down a road within a moment's notice. You're like, yeah, we know. We know. Geography does what? Well, it does three things, right? It helps to provide direction for us. Geography helps that. And geography allows us to be able to see detours and how to kind of avert things that are maybe problematic on the road and find the best route. And also, it helps us reach our destination point with clarity and with ease, especially if you have someone named Siri on your phone, right? No. Yes. No. Okay. But before we turn my sermon into a 21st century social studies lesson, I want to describe for you our passage this morning where we learn a little first century geography as we journey with Paul to change lives and change the world. As we are coming to a close for the Easter season, with next week being the last Sunday in our season, we want to take a slight detour. And as we say in the country, go mudbogging or off-roading, so that we can be experienced by the book of Acts, guided by the Holy Spirit. Bishop William Willimon, who's a retired elder in the Methodist Church, writes, and he reminds us that the whole purpose of Acts, which was written by the author of Luke, is to show how the gospel is spread into every section of the world. Just as Paul reminds of his followers, and just as Jesus reminded his followers in the beginning of the text, to go out and be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And we see this passage today as we go off-roading with Paul in three ways. If you were paying attention, I already gave them to you. Number one, providing directions. Providing directions. Finding directions in our day and age is relatively easy. I was in Tampa last night, and I knew exactly how to get here from my house in Gulfport, but I didn't know exactly how to get there from where I was staying in Tampa the other night. And so I just pulled up Google Maps, and 5 seconds later, there it was. Oh, not too bad. I can avoid a toll. Ha ha ha, praise the Lord. How many of us How many of us ask Siri for directions on our phones? How many of us look at Google Maps to know where we're going? How many of us have MapQuest? Y'all remember MapQuest from back in the day? Yes, Lord. And how many of us have the age-old Rand McNally Alice in the back of our car just because we need to know we have it just in case nothing works in our car? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Who has one in the back of their car? Amen. Well, you know, technology don't work everywhere. In the beginning of our passage this morning, we see Paul receiving direction from a vision to go to Macedonia. This for Paul was incredible, being that, as one of the commentators remind us, God's Spirit kept redirecting their journeys. They had a plan, and God sent them somewhere else to do something else. Paul wanted to be reminded that he had to keep the main thing, at all times. But in this vision, Paul sees this man from Macedonia beckoning them to come, the we being the disciples. I'm calling you to come to Macedonia. So they get up and set out immediately. And thanks to the Holy Spirit, they receive directions and they move out to Philippi. And in our context today, we are constantly looking for direction. We are constantly looking for some kind of spiritual direction. Sometimes we struggle with what God has called us to be. Sometimes we struggle with what God has called us to be. Sometimes we are oftentimes wondering where we are supposed to be, if we are where we are supposed to be. Sometimes we wonder if who we are supposed to be with is what we need to be doing. Sometimes we wonder what we are supposed to be doing. And sometimes we wonder why we are where we are, with who we are, why we're doing what we're doing in the first place. Sometimes, right? So sometimes we have questions. Sometimes God gives us more questions than answers. But let me tell you that I have a God who is always watching after us, who is always looking out for us, and will never, ever leave us stranded or alone. And what we don't realize is that when God is with us, we shouldn't be wondering, why me? Why now? I got things to do. We need to begin asking, why not me? Why not now? When we listen, remember we got two ears and one mouth. Think about it. When we listen and we remain open to the Spirit, we see God calling us to greater things than we have possibly ever imagined. Tampa, God is calling you to great things. Do you believe that? God is calling you to great things. So instead of saying, why me and why now, why not us? Why not now? What can we do to make this church a better place than what we have actually ever envisioned before? You have the framework. You gotta just get up and go. And I'm still on point number one. You know, when I was called not to become a minister in the beginning. I thought I was going to be a teacher. And then I thought I was going to work with residence life programs for college campuses all across the country. But thank God, other plans came to fruition. So even when we feel like we find our direction and our calling from God, things happen. Right? Things just happen. Which is point number two. Taking detours are okay. Taking detours are okay. A commentator mentioned that when Paul went on his journeys, his typical practice was to always seek the synagogue first, because Paul was looking for people who wanted to fall in love with this crazy man named Jesus who changed the world. And when he arrived at Philippi, which was a leading city in Macedonia and one of the leading cities and a very strategic and important colony of Rome, he takes a detour, which leads him outside the city into a house of prayer. To Paul, he finds this Holy Spirit connecting with him, with the people there, including Lydia, who is by all intents and circumstances a woman that had wealthy means and was a part of the wealthy social class. And we know that because she was a dealer in purple cloth. Now let me tell you, purple at that time was not an easy thing to get. It took a little bit of this. Purple cloth was expensive, so that's how we know that she was quite the wealthy woman. And of course, she was named anyway. She was one of the few women named in the New Testament. So she was a very important figure in advancing the cause of Christ. But, as we heard in our passage before, Paul was expecting a man. He gets Lydia. A woman. Paul was not expecting Lydia, nor was he expecting her entire household. He was expecting a man to appear as evidence from his vision, and not a foreign woman. But as we know with God, we can always expect the unexpected. Right? Right? You know, when I first moved to Florida, when I was growing up in Georgia in the country in the backwoods, Florida was a nice place to visit. The only reason why we visited Florida was so that we can get back to Georgia. Florida was not on my list of top 10 states to go to. I didn't want to go. We thought that they were either hippies on a beach, tourists in Disney, and everything else in between. Not our kind of people. And then I move here, again, knowing that with God we can expect the unexpected. And so next thing I know, I'm getting a job here and working here full time. Florida was where I'm getting married. He wasn't expecting to come to Florida either. He settled in Florida, expected to get a job. Can I say this? I don't care what you say. I'm going to say it anyway. Expecting a job at Bush, and he met me instead. And that was the end of the story. See, with God, we always expect the unexpected. You know, there was a song that I grew up with called An On-Time God, where God ain't gonna be there where you want him, but what? He will be there right on time. And we need to keep remembering that. We need to keep remembering that. God may have other plans. And so when we take detours, don't cuss, fuss, scream, holler, moan, yell, and complain about it. Because maybe there's something up a road ahead that's going to bless us that we don't know what's coming. We get mad because the route we wanted to take was the route we felt comfortable with. See, sometimes we get stuck in our comfortable boxes and in our comfortable marshmallow palaces thinking that life is great. We're just going to keep comfortable. But if we are to really change lives, then we must be ready, because when God tries to tell us something, we need to be the ones to listen. But even after your detour, even after you make that detour, is my final point, number 3, a destination to come and stay. after receiving the message from Paul, Lydia told them to come and stay at her home. For Lydia, this was a natural consequence of her and her household receiving the good news. She opened the doors of her heart to God and opened the doors of her home to Paul and the other disciples. And that's how I look at our job as MCCs today. Since 1968, UFMCC has been regarded as a haven for LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, HIJK, LMNOP, followers of God who hungered for a relationship with God when the churches of their tradition told them that they didn't matter. That was who we were in 1968. Now I believe that MCC is more than just a safe haven. Instead, I believe that MCC is onto something good when we challenge the status quo of organized religion, where we say that not only are you worthy of God's love, but you have been called by the Holy Spirit to do something great in this world. MCC Tampa, God has called you for such a time as this. It's time for you to start moving to the process of holy revival in this church. And you have already started. But just because you are in this place today, know that God is still not done with you yet, that God is still speaking to you, and that God is definitely still in this place. You have the responsibility to transform lives so that you can transform this world. That is your job. I need a minute. Honey, is my hair still looking good? Okay. God is only beginning to do something great. You have become a destination. A destination to challenge the status quo. Who would have known that 4 years ago Pride in Tampa would even be possible, but it is here now. Because of the stuff that you have done in this community. You are living witnesses, and you embody the belief that God is still working in this world, that God has still got this, that God is still in control. So, come and stay, Lydia said. Come and stay, MCC Tampa, and see what God is doing in your life today. This morning, I encourage you to learn your geography. Find your direction. Embrace the detours of your life. And always come and stay. And know that when you feel the presence, always know this. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? And long for that heaven and home with Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. For his eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. Can we speed up? Can we speed up? I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I pray for His eyes on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. Let us pray. Precious God, we give You thanks for this day, and may we continue to find direction solely in You, knowing that we have Jesus as the example and that we are guided by the Holy Spirit. May You continue to be with us and remain with us in this service, knowing that we will leave this place better than we walked in the door. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.